Words for Life is by Reverend Brett Peatman of Aspendale Presbyterian Church here in Melbourne.
Now, we come this week to the very end of Proverbs. Not the end of the book as such, but where I want to stop for now. And I wonder, do you really understand what wisdom is? Why do we need wisdom? I've heard this great illustration from a guy called Sam Chan. He describes wisdom very simply in terms of fashion. When I was in high school, we all wore Speedos. That's what you wore when you went for a swim. But once I got to university, we all wore board shorts. And those of you who know me know that my fashion sense stopped at university. That was the end of things. But I'm still in board shorts. However, other members of our church are very committed to Speedos. What should it be? Does wisdom help us? Now, we know that fashion is fickle, but at the same time, you don't want to be the guy or girl who turns up wearing the wrong clothes. We need wisdom. See, wisdom is knowing more than what is true and right. Wisdom is knowing how to read the room, how to understand all of the context and the complexity of it. But what if we couldn't just read the room and know what to wear, but we could read all of life? What if we could know how to make the right choices in everything? That's wisdom. Because most of the choices we make day to day are not in that sort of moral right and wrong category. They're much more nuanced than that. Wisdom is what we do when the rules don't apply. And wisdom gives us not just what to wear, but how to live. And the big question behind it all is, what are you living for? What should we live for? What's the purpose today? Now, what do you make of the times we live in? As we go through, I really want to finish jumping through Proverbs 27, looking at our world today and how Proverbs describes it, why we need wisdom, and why wisdom works in community. Let's just start with our world today. What does Proverbs say about our world? It seems to me that Proverbs 27, verse 7, is a great verse for talking about our world. But it's a little bit abstract. Let me read it to you. One who is full loathes honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. One who is full loathes honey from the comb. Even the most sweet, beautiful food is not appealing to those who are full. And in our world today, we have too much of almost everything. Now, maybe you found that in lockdown in particular. We could buy food, we just couldn't go anywhere or do anything. So you could eat and eat and eat and eat. But after a while, it's not very interesting, is it? One who is full loathes honey from the comb. Even the sweetest thing didn't seem interesting anymore. Everything seemed tired. But the second half is, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Now, I don't think we're overly hungry here in Australia. Maybe that's changing a little bit. But what we are is spiritually hungry. We're in a world that doesn't know what life is for, what we are for, what makes life significant. And so we grab on to almost anything. Even what is bitter tastes sweet. Even the simplest thing we try and fill our life with is not what we really need, because we're hungry. And when you're hungry, you need food. You need substance. And when you're spiritually hungry, when you don't know why you're here anymore, what you need is God. You see, our world is hungry. Proverbs 27, verse 12, tells us the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Now, because on the one side we're full and on the other side we're hungry, we don't know where we're going. And the reality is our world, even though things aren't working, just keeps going. The simple keep going and they pay the penalty. We're not going in the right way. We're running away from God. Or even more scary is verse 20. Death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are human eyes. We can't get no satisfaction. We're frustrated because we don't know God. And Proverbs, when you start at the very beginning, tells us we begin getting wisdom, knowing how to make the right choices by looking to God. We find the right direction when we trust in the Lord. You know, those verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. God is the one who gives us direction. But if you've rejected God, you end up lost. I did find Proverbs 29:18 this week. This is quite a profound verse for our society. It says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. What's he saying? Where there is no revelation, where you do not hear from God, where you have no voice from God, what do? They proclaim they are free. They cast off restraint. They go whichever way they want to. But it's not good. It doesn't take us where we need to be. We end up full and not interested in what is good. Or we end up hungry and never satisfied. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. And that's really the world we live in, isn't it? Maybe you've seen the results of the census. It doesn't look good for Christianity in Australia. Christianity has been gradually decreasing over a number of years. At least those, to be fair, this is not heartfelt Christianity. This is whoever would tick a census box saying, I'm a Christian, but it's been gradually going down. In the recent census, that is last year's census, 43.9% identified as Christian. But that's reduced from 50% in 2016 and 60% in 2011. Christianity seems to be ebbing away. People are casting off restraint. It's even more dire this time around for the Presbyterian and Reformed churches because between 2021 and 2016, there's been a 22% drop in those ticking that box. Now, before we all get upset and worried about it, I think it is a reality check for most of us churches, and we ought to seek God and seek help. But why would almost 112,000 people stop checking that box in 6 years? Well, some of them have certainly passed away. But more than that, I think we need to remember what the census measures. Our society has often thought of themselves as part of a church, even if they never go, and so ticked a box. Well, those people are stopping checking boxes. You might ask, how do I know that? Because when I look at the attendance statistics for our denomination, they're flat. Now, I'd like to see them increasing, absolutely, but we're not seeing less people come to church. We're just seeing less people call themselves Presbyterian. And we also need to remember, what did Jesus teach on this? He said, the narrow road is the way to salvation. The wide road is the one to destruction. And when you look at Jesus in the Gospels, you find that he's more critical of religious institutions than our society is. So what should we do? Remember that God is sovereign over his church. And that we're called to just be where we are. You know, given all the reports in the media about Christianity's demographic demise, it might be worth remembering that on a global scale, Christianity is growing. The annual growth rate is 1.17%, which is five times the growth rate of no religion. There is far more people turning to Christ every day than people unchecking a box on a census form. Now, yes, we might need to have a bit of humility here in the West. We might need to remember that we don't know everything and we need to look to God. Proverbs 16:25 tells us, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." For those of us in the West, our society is saying we have another right way, not God's way. And the warning is, it leads to death. And so Proverbs tells us in chapter 3, 7 and 8, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Do not think that you have everything sorted out. Do not pretend that you can fake it till you make it. Do not be wise in your own eyes. What we really need to do is to seek the Lord, to turn away from evil, but to seek God. And if we seek God and His wisdom and His way of life, the result is verse 8. "This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." The wise way is the way that Proverbs encourages us to live, the way that looks to God first, not to ourselves, and trusts Him. That's our memory verse, isn't it? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." The way that Proverbs encourages us all to live is not living for ourselves, not determining our own path, not pursuing our freedom and independence, but to look first to God, to look to Him, to trust Him, to hang on to Him. In fact, not even to lean on your own understanding. Know that you are limited, that you need help. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 puts it this way, and I think this is really helpful. It tells us that it's because of God that we are in Christ Jesus, who's become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So if we want wisdom, if we want to know how to make the right choices day by day, we start by looking to Jesus. If you want to sort your life out, you start by looking to Jesus. Because He's the one who helps us with everything. He is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. He is the one who sets us right before God. He sets us on the right path. He is our wisdom. See, we don't make up our own rules. We seek His rules. And more than that, Jesus shows us what we're to live for. Not just for ourselves, not for our pleasures, not for our achievements. We're to live for Him. And if we belong to Jesus, His wisdom lives in us. And once we start to trust in the Lord, we can understand our world far better. See, when we don't just read the room, we read God, we read the universe, we read life in an entirely new way. And one thing is that I've gone through Proverbs over the last 2 months is just how much Proverbs keeps reminding us that we do that by talking to one another, in that we don't live the wise life on our own. We live it when we trust in Jesus, but we live it in community with other Christians. You see, we need to live with others. When we look to Jesus, we know that life is not just about us. Wisdom begins not with us, but with the fear of the Lord. Now, maybe in the past or at the moment, you've found yourself unemployed. Proverbs lives in out on the street, not in the sort of high world of thoughts and ideals. This is stuff that happens to us. What happens when you don't have a job? What do? We're very tempted to solve it ourselves. That's our first gut reaction, isn't it? We keep applying for jobs. We talk to friends we know in the industry. We try and work it out and find the right role for us. What does Proverbs say we should do if we're unemployed? What should we do at that point? Well, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So perhaps the very first thing we should do is not get the resume in order and frantically work getting it out there, but pray. Pray that God will help us. Pray that God will give us understanding so that we might find not just a job, but the right job. Understand that God is sovereign so that even when we don't get the one we thought we were hoping for, it's okay. The world is not at an end. See, when all you have in life is yourself and you've got to solve all your problems yourself, there's an incredible amount of pressure and it leads our world to endless anxiety. But when you know God, it's different, isn't it? Because when you start with wisdom, you cannot be self-absorbed. God gives us a very different perspective on the troubles of life. So we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, because He will make our paths straight. We also need community to help us. To grow in real wisdom, we need one another. Proverbs 27 brings this up as well. 27, 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. We need to wound one another. That is, we're supposed to correct one another, to challenge one another, to have that gentle conversation, to help one another. Proverbs 25 talks about the force of our correction. It says, through patience a ruler can be persuaded, a gentle tongue can break a bone. Isn't that profound? A gentle tongue breaks a bone. What do we need? We need friends who are willing to come in and break us. To come in and give us that push, ask the question, to know us well enough to do that gently. It is really important that we have one another. That is the way to wisdom. It's a great reason to be at church and a great reason to encourage one another. Jesus said to his own disciples, they have the job of looking after one another. Matthew 18:15, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Jesus' expectation in the church was that we would look after one another, that we would talk to one another about what's going on in our lives, that we would even challenge one another about sin, that gentle tongue that breaks a bone is part of the Christian life. It's really important in church to be open to others and to listen to them. Proverbs 27:17 puts this really succinctly. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. God's plan for us to grow in the Christian life is to be together. As Christians together, questioning, challenging, but also loving and caring for one another. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Now, it's not easy to get close to other people today. I think we all feel more comfortable going home and watching TV. It's less threatening. You don't have to think about anything. But the challenge Proverbs leaves us with is to live the wise life, we need one another, which means we need to spend time with one another. See, we don't sharpen one another just talking about the weather outside or the football. We sharpen one another when we remind one another to fear the Lord, when we broaden our perspective away from just ourselves. And so you might ask today, how can we help the mess of our society? Well, there is nothing more powerful than people who continue to fear the Lord, to trust in Jesus, and to live life together. God's plan has always been from the bottom up, not from the top down. And we know that as we come together today, Jesus creates community amongst us. And it is Jesus who will keep growing you and me as we trust in him. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom in Proverbs, and we pray that you would give us wisdom today. Help us to look to you in the complexity of life, that we might stand as your people, that we might encourage one another, and that we might have real hope and wisdom in Jesus Christ. Amen. Words for